With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. Rate, review on your podcast platforms. And if you're watching on YouTube, like, subscribe there. Muchly appreciated. Joining me today, Joshua Howe of Raptors Republic, to go through training camp battles. The furious training camp battles going on with the Toronto Raptors. Sir, how are you? How was your summer?
Good, man. I'm good. Pretty relaxing summer, honestly. You know, didn't get up to too much. Tried to calm the mind, you know, get in the zone before the new season arrives. And, you know, I try not to think too much about, you know, you try not to think about too much. And then Jeff Dowden comes in summer league and just like, that's all you can think about for like 3 weeks. So
I know, right? That's my guy right now. We're going to talk about him for sure. So what with Josh, training camp battles, right? As I said earlier, there are a couple of spots available on the Toronto Raptors. I think most people know that by now. There, you could say there's like 13 spots that are solidified, but then there are two more and their training camp roster is full. So names like Justin Champagne, Delano Banton, Josh Jackson, and DJ Wilson, they will be competing for likely two remaining spots. Now, of course, there could be more trades on the horizon. There could be more spots available. We don't know, but at this very second, while Josh and I are speaking, there are two spots likely available after the Raptors signed Juancho Hernangómez to a guaranteed deal. But as we saw with Svi Mykhailiuk, that could change very quickly. You just say, thank you, sir. Things aren't working out. Svi's felt the same way. Now one more roster spot's available. Things like that could potentially happen before opening night. But at the moment, two spots available. So we're going to go through some of the competition available at the forward spots, center spots, and point guard position. And I guess let's start with the forward spots because, as I said, two spots remaining and two of the names that I mentioned earlier, we're probably going to get two of those spots. And I don't know. It's very intriguing. Josh Jackson is one name that comes to mind here. A person who was a fourth overall pick once upon a time, has been a bit of a journeyman, and the Raptors are giving him a non-guaranteed deal, a training camp spot to see what can you do for us? What kind of player are you? How can you fit into our system? What were your thoughts when the acquisition happened or signing happened?
Just that it's interesting. I mean, you're always going to be interested when a team signs on a guy who was, yeah, the number four overall pick in 2017. I mean,
sure.
You know, you go back and read some of those like Draft Express and those type of articles and before he got into the league. And, you know, he's in those conversations with Tatum and Jonathan Isaac and those guys. And it's so weird because you'd have guys like Mike Schmitz talking about, like, you know, if you want a solid 20 points per game guy for the future, you draft Tatum. But if you want the guy with the most upside, you draft Josh Jackson.
Huh.
And, you know, he clearly has a lot of upside still. I mean, even going back and watching what he's done, you know, in his short time bouncing around the league, I mean, he is a super athletic guard/forward. He can kind of fit into both of those spots, which is great in today's NBA. Has the wingspan, right? You know, the size, not quite 6'9", close. I think he's 6'7", but
very close. Very, very close.
Very close, right? Close enough. Yeah. He has that 7-foot wingspan the Raptors love. So you could easily slot him into a couple of those spots. He's switchable on defense. He tries hard on that end. It's really been, right, his erratic, funky looking jumper. His jumper's so weird looking. And it just hasn't really panned
out. The hitch,
right?
The hitch.
The hitch. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, he kind of brings it up and pauses. And I think, he's a career 29% 3-point shooter in the NBA. Not really going to cut it. It was a little better than that in college. You know, he's the kind of guy you bring in for the upside. I mean, can make some plays on the move fun in the open floor. All that athleticism and stuff is great. The Raptors obviously are going to be looking to get into transition a lot this season, just like they did last season, to get a lot of their offense going. So, you know, he's a project, but he's the kind of guy that, because of the upside, the Raptors could bring in, and they feel very confident in their development team staff.
Sure.
And, you know, why not? So I think that's kind of his outlook going into camp there.
Yeah, sure. And I mean, with him and I guess with the Raptors, and what we learned last season is that depth was obviously an issue. And Masai Ujiri said it at his end of season. He was asked directly by a reporter, are you going to address the lack of depth on this team? And he said, correct. That is something that was being focused on heading into this season. And even if you compare it to last season, entering the season, and, you know, we were thinking at the time, Delano Banton, Malachi Flynn, Chris Boucher, who had, you know, his ups and downs, but obviously, you know, found his role, but we thought they would be parts of the rotation. And at one point, none of them were. But now you go into this season, you got Otto Porter Jr., Thad Young, Chris Boucher, as he's found himself and what his role is going to be in the NBA. Precious Achiuwa probably coming off the bench. That right there is four players. And there's still more depth behind them. But when you are investing into a vision, such as the Raptors are, you can't have enough of these guys. And I'm talking like the 6'9", 6'8". You mentioned Josh Jackson. He's a guard / forward. That means he's got some ball handling abilities. He can finish in the rim, around the rim. He's got some transition skills. He can adaptable defender. Like, these are all things that are screaming the Toronto Raptors. So it's not a bad idea at all. I think some people thought that the last spot might go to Jalen Harris. As we know, he was extended a qualifying offer, so a team in the NBA could give him a shot, but it seems like at the moment, at least, he's not going to be in training camp, and he will probably be with the Raptors on a five. If, you know, something changes, whatever, that could obviously happen, but at the moment that's the case. And they decided to go with a person like Josh Jackson. And I think it's a great gamble. Because if you do truly believe that your development staff can help him with his jump shot, can help him find a role with the Toronto Raptors, and we're going to get to some of the roles and bench pieces in a second, it's a great flyer to take, because there is certainly a spot for him, I think, with the Raptors within the scope of what they need. It's going to come down to, you know, his execution and if he's willing to accept that kind of role, because like you said, fourth overall pick, someone that had a ton of upside at one point, and, you know, 25 years old, he's not exactly 30. There's still lots of time for him, but with the Raptors, they're looking for people to fill in holes, to fill in roles with the starters, because they've last season, we saw that they kind of found themselves with how they're going to be figuring out their half court offense, the rhythm, Pascal Siakam's emergence, Scotty Barnes needs touches, all that kind of stuff. So they just need players to come off the bench and fill the needs. And if he wants to do that, if he's willing to, I see that there's a chance, right? There's obviously a chance. The camp battles are going to be absolutely hectic. What do you think this means for a player like Justin Champagne, who is also on a non-guaranteed deal? He enters this training camp. Probably most people thought that he would probably be on next season's team. But with Hernan Gomez, with Josh Jackson, to me, this does signal a couple of things with how the Raptors are going to be approaching training camp. But I'll let you start.
Yeah, and just to quickly touch on you know, like Gabe Brown, I know some people are gonna be like, what about Gabe Brown? Like, he's kind of comparable, right, to Josh Jackson. Yeah. I mean, the thing with him is he's the only player who's signed to an Exhibit 10 deal going into camp, which means the Raptors have an eye, obviously, to bring him to the 905. So kind of looking at it this way, as, you know, he's probably not going to make the roster. He's going to go compete for a chance, right? But he's probably not going to be on the final roster. So it's more about getting him over to the 905, develop there, and just get the 50K there that he's guaranteed if he goes that route.
Yep.
So just wanted to bring that up, because I know there'll be some people who are like, what about Gabe Brown?
No, not a bad idea.
Justin Champagne, you know, it's interesting. I'm not really sure his spot is in so much trouble, just because, you know, every time you talk to anyone around the Raptors, they love him, right? They constantly bring up how much they like him. He's a hard worker. He's that kind of, you know, 6'6", but plays like he's 6'10", kind of guy. All over the offensive glass, always comes in when the team needs him. He's been part of the 905 program. He's sort of embedded in the Raptors culture now. And his really, you know, come into his own there as part of the team. Another guy like Hernan Gomez, who comes in, and like you mentioned off the top, has a guaranteed deal. Also the only guy who got a guaranteed deal out of these guys who are really competing here for a roster spot. Obviously that's, like you mentioned, again, he could be cut, but that's a pretty good indicator. I think that he's probably going to make the team. So
yeah,
I don't know what you think about this, but I'm actually the mindset they're probably both going to make the team. And if you're going to have Hernan Gomez, another 6'9" guy, probably having him maybe at the more traditional four spot most of the time. Champagne can shift down, can play at a smaller forward spot at 6'6". So I think those two guys are probably taking up two of those spots already, going through who we can think is going to make the team here. But I think, unless something unexpected happens, both going to make it, and both I think it's their spots to lose, to be honest with you. I think they're operating from a position of some leverage here.
Sure. Got you. So that would, in theory, then leave no spots, because I think it's fair to say that Delano Banton is probably going to make the team.
Right.
Yeah. So that would be the two spots right there. Not to burst the bubble of the discussion, but I think that's fair to say. The only reason I bring up the Champagne thing is I just found it interesting that they're willing to do something like that. And, obviously he suffered a hand injury just before Summer League. And you do want to fill all the training camp roster spots, no question. Maybe like Josh Jackson, who knows what happens with him. Maybe he isn't getting other offers. Maybe he's in the G League. Like, it's hard to say how things are going to go. I do believe that, Justin Champagne, I think the Raptors like him. I think he's absolutely a fit from the get-go when he said that, hey, I want to be a Toronto Raptor. I turned down other offers from other teams because I wanted to become a Toronto Raptors. He went undrafted and he says, I want to be with the Raptors. He told his agent, hey, make me a Raptor. Can we make it happen? And he fits the identity. He was asked to do a couple of things during the off season. They asked him to speed up his jumper, which I'm sure he has done. And we haven't seen too much of him. A little bit of Rico Hines run action at the last run, which was a great time for all of us because it was servicing our basketball needs during a time where there wasn't much going on. But he does, he's going to be a great rebounder. And I think he's going to be, he's going to accept his role within the Toronto Raptors, which is extremely important. He's not going to deviate. He's going to do exactly what he's been told to do. And he's only 21 years old. And the Raptors, they don't often care too much about age necessarily, but him at this point of his career, what he offers, he's truly a natural fit. The Justin Jackson or the Josh Jackson thing, it was interesting because are we getting to a point where Justin is competing against a guy who was a fourth overall pick and has been playing in the NBA for a couple of years? But I mean, maybe not, right? This is going to come down to the approach of the Raptors and how important it is to them that they have depth on depth on depth to service all the needs, which is a lot of catch and shoot wingspanny wings.
Yeah. And I do think, people will look at it and be like, well, the Raptors need guards, right? But I'm not sure they're too concerned with oversaturating traditional positions, having too many forwards or whatever, right? Because Vision 6'9", I mean, they want guys who can do a little bit of everything. They want positional flexibility. A guy like Champagne can bring that. He plays up a spot, can play down a spot. But they have guys also who can handle, guys who can handle the playmaking spots, from different positions. I mean, opening night, Siakam's likely to be the starting center, right? But he can play point guard. He will play point guard a lot of the time offensively. So
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Funky.
And Scotty, same thing, right? You're going to see a whole bunch of these lines. There's forwards handling the ball all the time. So, I don't think the Raptors are going to be too concerned about we absolutely need to be filling out with guards here. So I think seeing the two forwards there, it wouldn't be too much of a surprise.
So that does get us to DJ Wilson. The Raptors, for most of you probably know, they gave him a few 10-day contracts. He hurt himself. And then they, offered him this non-guaranteed deal to come into camp and see if he can get a spot. Now, we're going to get to the center conversation. Actually, let's do it now. Let's go to the center conversation because I think we kind of addressed this stuff already. DJ Wilson, non-guaranteed contract. You got Ken Burch. You got Christian Koloko, who was finally signed by the Raptors after all those sweating moments. People were just like, what are they going to be doing? It was essentially that they were inside the Kevin Durant conversations and they had to remain all the flexibility in the world. He was always going to be a Raptor. They're very excited about him. They've been scouting him for like 5 years. Like, he was going to be a Toronto Raptor. Don't worry about it. He's going to get signed. But yeah, shifting to the centers. Okay. So Ken Burch, we know the story with him as well. He was hurt for pretty much all of last season. He had a lot of knee issues. Those hopefully are behind him. He is rocking some frosted flakes on his head. He's got some blonde there now. So it's a whole new look to Ken Burch. Hopefully he's healthy. How do you see kind of some of this stuff shaking out between, I'll start with DJ Wilson. Do you think he's got a realistic shot of, or how does he get there? Because as we outlined, we probably think that Delano and Justin are going to be getting those last two spots. So how does he actually earn a spot on the opening night roster?
Yeah. Yeah. I think like you said, he's it's tough, right? I mean, he's on the outside looking in, I think. Sure. That doesn't mean he can't make the roster. I mean, the Raptors clearly like him as well. They've been circling each other for a while, and obviously they brought him in last season during that really tough COVID stretch. Some ridiculous games that everyone hopefully has forgotten by now. I mean, to make the team, I guess he really just would have to be the epitome of his role. He's got to be competing against some of those other guys, like Hernan Gomez, for example.
Yeah,
feels kind of like the direct competitor, right? He's also 26 years old. They're around the same. They both have some NBA experience. I bounced around a bit, but know what they're good at and generally stay within the confines there and bring what they need to the team. And really, I mean, another, 6'10", 7'3" wingspan guy. I think it's just like, those are the guys he's got to kind of put a, target on their back and say, like, those are the guys I got to outwork if I got to have a chance. And it's just tough because, like we said, like, Hernan Gomez has that guaranteed deal. DJ Wilson does not. So it's, if there is a tiebreaker between those two guys, for example, you're probably going to see Juancho on the Raptors. But hey, man, you never know. He could come in and light everything up and Raptors decide, hey, we have some flexibility. We can eat that contract and we'll sign Wilson instead.
Yeah. And then, I mean, camp battles are important to most teams, but especially to the Raptors. They want people to kind of feel that heat and they want to see how they perform under that pressure. DJ, like, I like him. I think he's got a spot in the NBA. I'm just not sure if it's going to be with the Raptors, but if he comes in and he shoots, lights out from three, he's like an actual pick and pop big. If he's able to, get the defensive concepts, be something of an anchor big at points and play that cat and mouse game within the pick and roll and drop coverage really well. Be very situationally aware on defense, which he actually has shown that he's got some chops there. Maybe you're right. Like it's not out of the realm of possibility. I mean, they have enough ball handlers. So it really is about who can service the need of being that 3-point shooter better. And you might argue that Juancho probably is maybe a bit more of a versatile 3-point shooter. You could, and you could probably think that, hey, he might be one who's going to be able to attack closeouts better and probably be a little bit more of a higher upside offensive player. But it's not crazy to think that DJ could get there. And the Raptors are loyal too. They're giving him the shot because they believe in him and they believe in how he could impact their team when given the opportunity. While Juancho, I mean, they don't know him very well. Right. And, sure, maybe he's been in the league a little bit longer. Maybe he's got a little bit more experience, perhaps. But still, in the end, the Raptors are a team that respects their players. And I could see it. I could see it. I think this probably is going to come down to more of a Juancho versus DJ Wilson thing. But the guaranteed deal is certainly a factor. Ken Burch. OK, let's switch to him. What do you think his role is going to be at the beginning of next season with the Raptors?
More limited than last season. I mean, just because, if you project the Raptors to be bringing in two more forwards like we are here, they're going to have a lot of big guys on the roster. So you're already looking at, if they're starting opening night with a lineup that has Siakam at center, not Precious, that means Precious is coming in off the bench. He's soaking up a lot of those backup C minutes. Probably wouldn't be surprising to see, Siakam come out or switch around different positions earlier, somebody come out, put Precious in earlier, rather than just waiting, majority of the first quarter there in a lot of games. But that doesn't necessarily mean Ken Burch is up next. Now you've got, just Chris Boucher, Thad Young, a bunch of guys who are just, malleable players. I really do legitimately think Koloko is lurking.
We're getting to that. Oh, yes, he is.
Because
Yeah, I like he's this just, Let's go. Let's do it. Go.
He's just, he's the only guy on the roster who can bring exactly what he brings, right? He's more of a traditional big man.
Exactly.
But he's the only guy. I mean,
yeah.
Would you like, you know, if you go back and look at some of those games last season and you could, you know, imagine sticking Koloko in those Kem minutes, you know, would you do it? I mean, I think a lot of people would say probably, yeah. I mean,
sure.
He helps out with, and while Birch is, everyone knows what Birch is at this point, right? The team has a very good idea what Birch is. Birch knows what he is. Yeah. And he's very reliable, very solid, good defender, has that little push shot at the top of, you know, the free throw line, can make some plays on the short roll. He's a good player, a solid backup player. But when you have a guy who come in and potentially be like a, you know, rim protecting lob threat type guy who can make an impact maybe right away, maybe he jumps him in the rotation. You know, I don't know if it's necessarily from the get-go, but maybe it is. Maybe he has a great camp too, and Nurse sees that and likes that, and that's what they go to. But I mean, you know, it's just going to be tough. It's going to be tough for him to get minutes, I think, right away, and especially as the season goes on, unless there are injuries, of course, which always happen to the Raptors. But
sure,
I mean, yeah, you're gonna start with Siakam, then Precious, then maybe like Koloko, you know, maybe Boucher's at some of those center minutes, you know, like, and then Birch is in there somewhere. So
sure.
Yeah, and I think it's
good. Yeah, man. And that informs, like, you know, the DJ Wilson and Wancho conversation too. Maybe just in case something were to go down, maybe you want a little bit more of a veteran presence at the center position, because you are thinking about, you know, investing in a Christian Koloko if things aren't going up or a little up and down and so forth. Maybe you think DJ Wilson might be a better option, because while he is a forward, like, he's 6'10", so he can play center, at least on the Toronto Raptors. He can play center. So there is that possibility. Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing Kem Birch return to his form of what we saw early on last season. That's when he showed that, like, he is the same player that he was during that Tampa season, which is why he got that contract from the Toronto Raptors. Like, when it comes to filling gaps, being a tough post defender, he can do it. And he can run the floor a little bit. He's been working on his three-point shot, at least according, I mean, from what we're seeing, he is. And I.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I think he probably knows that that is something that is important. So if he's able to, you know, hit those corner threes, which he wasn't getting as many opportunities, I think he actually hit his first corner three of the season in that 76er series, which is hysterical.
Yeah.
But if he's able to do these things, like, he's got a spot on the Raptors if they want to go that route, or maybe on a different team. But this is why I mentioned, like, right now there are two spots available right now, but that can change very, very quickly. And I think the Rico Hines runs, I'm looking forward to not talking about those things anymore, but I found it interesting. I think I've said it once, twice, three, four times that Christian Koloko consistently played with the starters. Mm-hmm. Always. He always played with the starters. It wasn't Precious Achiuwa. It was Christian Koloko. And then you got that clip of Fred VanVleet saying, like, man, I've been throwing passes like that in terms of lobs in a long, long time. That is what Christian Koloko offers over anyone on the Toronto Raptors. He could be an easy source of half-court offense. That pick and roll, I think we all want to see more pick and roll from the Toronto Raptors, from Nick Nurse's half-court offense. And I think we're going to see more of that for a few reasons in the upcoming season. separate conversation, but I think we're going to see more of it. If he's able to be a lob threat and he's able to collapse the defense, that's going to open up kick out three opportunities from the corners for other teams, for other players. Mm-hmm. That's going to instantly improve their half court offense. Instantly. It is a dynamic that they just simply haven't had for quite some time. And if he's able to do it, if he's able, I think he's going to be decent defensively because he's already, geez, he's 7'5". 7'5" wingspan, people, like that means something. And he was, you know, Pac-12 defense player of the year. He was very good in summer league. I think he showed exactly what he's capable of. And you give him a few weeks during training camp, regular season and so forth. His role defensively isn't going to necessarily be to be like that anchor big necessarily, but they want him to be a reliable low man, a rim protector. And with the array of rangy forwards that the Raptors have, the plus defenders that they have, his responsibilities are going to be fairly limited. But you might say, but hey, I mean, Christian Coloco, he's a project, right? His offensive game isn't really there. Why would they have him be, you know, an offensive rebounder, a lob threat, and that's it in the NBA when he can go down to the 905 and he could, you know, play and he could, you know, learn about his offensive game and develop and, you know, get some post opportunities and develop his skills there. He can do both, just like Delano Banton did last season. That's the advantages of having the Raptors 905 in Mississauga. There could absolutely be scenarios where he's playing a game with the Raptors on Tuesday and then 905, he's going down there and he's playing another game. Delano Banton on hustle play. He's like, yeah, all I do is play basketball. Every single day I'm playing basketball. And that was by design. And I think it's going to help him this upcoming season. But Christian Coloco, 21 years old, 22, he can do the exact same thing when the 905 are down the road.
Yeah. And he, you know, it's interesting too, because he gives the Raptors just a different defensive look, right? I mean, the Raptors did not play drop very much last season, except with Kem Birch, who... You know, not always the best defensive scheme to play.
Injuries were a factor.
Injuries were a factor for sure. But I mean, it's not something that the Raptors went to a lot for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was pretty much the only time you saw it. And now this is more of a legitimate drop defense big man, right? You know, and he can come out a little bit as well to the level of the screen and stuff like that. But you probably mostly want him, you know, protecting the rim, just staying back a little bit there. And he's got such length that he can easily recover. And that stuff, it's just, you know,
you try that kind of, you try that kind of stuff in a blowout game, right?
You
throw Christian Coloco out there and like, all right, let's see how you do on the perimeter. Like that's not something you're going to do within your competitive NBA games, but you want to see that because I think that's the future for him. You want him to be able to guard on the level.
Yeah. And like, you know, like Nurse loves switching up defensive looks, right? And the Raptors are so locked into now for a few seasons have been their scrambly, switchy defense. You know, every once in a while, it's just nice to be able to switch up to something like classic drop. And it's just going to work for you against certain matchups, certain opponents. Yeah. So I think that like defensively is really where I think Coloco, if he's going to make an impact immediately, that's going to be where it is. It's going to be as a rim protector. It's going to be as a drop big. Like you mentioned as well, lob threat on the offensive end. He's obviously pretty limited on that end. Otherwise, would love to see him come out as a great screener. Cause that's something else the Raptors also could really use.
I think he is. Like, I think he is
right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I think maybe he needs to make contact a little bit more, but he's good at it for sure. And obviously has the body and just the size. I mean, that size coming at you anytime is going to open up some space. But like, who's the best screener on the team right now? Is it Fred VanVleet?
Scotty, maybe? I don't know. If they use Scotty in a different way, maybe it would be Scotty. But that was my takeaway from the last Rico Hines run is like Gary Trent Jr. was getting wide open off these Christian Coloco screens. Now, not every team is going to be playing that kind of coverages, but I think this is the Raptors within their Rico Hines practices, which is, I mean, they kind of were practices at points. And you had like Raptors coaching staff there. They want to see how this looks. These are like free practices, free training camps is what we're seeing from them. And hey, man, it looked pretty good. And if you are against a team that's going to play a little bit more drop, or maybe, hey, maybe you want to be able to create like true switches, because setting good screens is an art form. It's a skill and it's a commodity. Like teams want that from their centers and other players. So if he develops it, which I think he will, he improves that. He makes good contact. He already obviously has like the body for it, you know. I'm sure he's getting a little bit stronger as the offseason goes on here. And then, these are things that he offers that no other Raptor can. And that sounds pretty good to me. Having things that your team didn't have last season, pretty good. Not too bad. Not too bad at all.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm excited about Coloco, man. I think he's going to have, I think he's going to be pretty good in a couple of years. You got Rico Hines there. You got Earl Watson. They do a great job of developing players. Patience is there. They've done it with so many. Like, yeah, he's got the work ethic. Good things are going to happen for him. All right, point guards. Mm-hmm. Another player who played in Summer League, Jeff Doughton Jr. I'm going to ask you straight up. Is there a path to Jeff Doughton Jr. getting backup point guard minutes?
So are we talking like backup point guard minutes, like he's just getting some minutes, or are we talking like converting his two-way to a standard contract?
I think we're talking the latter. Maybe. Yeah, we're talking about it. He's on a two-way, right? So I think he will play some games, I think, with the Raptors at some point. These are the camp battles, right? And these aren't things that we're going to be able to see when they're playing scrimmages in training camp. And if Jeff is performing really well, two players mm-hmm. that I think, I'm not really sure if they're going to be, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they weren't with the Raptors on opening night, Malachi Flynn and Ken Birch. Those are the two that are earmarked to me. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying, like, with some of the players that they obviously have waiting, you know, a Josh Jackson, what if Josh Jackson really performs well? Right. What if he's like, hey, whatever you guys need, I will do it. Now you have like a guard forward with some upside. Then you got DJ Wilson, who I think is an NBA player. They obviously like him. Like there is something here, maybe. Right. There could be a path to some of these things happening. But Jeff Doughton Jr., starting with him, he had a terrific summer league. He does a lot of things that the Raptors would want from a backup point guard in a role setting. Things that they wanted from Malachi Flynn. Malachi hasn't been able to do it, at least consistently. And there's been a bit of confusion on like what Malachi Flynn's role is with the Raptors. What could it be in the future? You got Delano Banton there too. We're going to get to that, some of that stuff in a second, but starting with Jeff, what are your thoughts on him and what his role could be with the big club this year?
If at all. So we talked about earlier about how the Raptors do have a lack of guard depth, and you know, both of their two-way guys can play the guard spot or are guards straight up. Doughton is a guard. And Summer League, if he can carry over what he was doing in Summer League to training camp and then potentially, you know, to the 905 and then potentially to the Raptors, I mean, he's going to get some minutes, right? I mean, just adding a guy who can score to this team, especially as, you know, a secondary, tertiary option, is a big deal. Even just having a guy who can act as a release valve, that's one of the things with Malachi that, you know, he struggled with a bit, right? Just hit some of those threes, man, consistently. That's a plus. That's a bonus. It opens things up for the rest of the team. Obviously, you don't necessarily, you know, you don't want him coming in and deciding, all right, I'm the guy now. I'm going to be Gary Trent Jr. and I'm taking, you know, 10 shots in the first 5 minutes. But he has the ability to play make. He can get to his spots. He's so good at stopping on a dime, those kind of, and then putting up those little floaters, things like that. Like that's useful stuff as a backup guard for any team. So, you know, on the defensive end, guarding at the NBA level, maybe a bit tougher for him. He's a little bit smaller, you know, running into screens, that kind of thing. Maybe a bit tougher for him at that level, but there's definitely a path. You know, to your point, there's definitely a path to him getting backup minutes. And I think we are guaranteed at some point to see him, you know, definitely on a two-way contract at some point, you know, being called up and playing some backup minutes. And, you know, who knows? I think best case scenario is, you know, he shows his stuff at the 905 and comes up on his two-way deal, shows it as well at the NBA level. And then, best case scenario is the Raptors say, hey, you know what? You've been great. We're going to convert your deal and you're going to be part of the team. We'll find a way to make that work. And you know, at whatever point that happens throughout the season, I think that's the best case scenario that he can be looking forward to. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely some high expectations there.
Very high. Sure. And because of the small sample size we have of Jeff, you know, he spent most of last season in the G League, a few games here and there with a few different NBA teams, but mostly it was in the G League and he had a great year from there. And then you go to Summer League, you know, analyze some of the Rico Hines stuff. And I'm just seeing a lot of the same things that he did in Summer League, he's able to do in those Rico Hines runs. I hesitate to you know, go too deep into those because like they're edited clips and so forth. But the fact he's hitting these same kinds of shots You know, like he's hitting those catch and shoot shots. He's hitting floaters. He's attacking bigs when he gets those opportunities. He's hitting shots in the mid range. These are all very good signs. I'm sure, you know, Fred VanVleet, he had his moment with specifically Jeff Devin Jr. when he felt like a lot of guys were fouling a little bit too much. And there were clips specifically of Jeff Devin Jr. fouling Fred. And Fred was like talking to the whole team. Essentially, he's like, hey, if you guys are going to be doing this during the season, you're not going to play. So stop doing it. That's a factor. Mm-hmm. Defense first is that's the Raptors mentality. But in the end, you have a 6'3 point guard, which is still very tall for a point guard, who can hit shots, hopefully, who can attack the rim. He's got some versatility, great court sense. And that's what they want from a backup point guard, because Pascal is going to play point guard minutes. Scottie Barnes is going to play point guard minutes. You could see some inverted pick and rolls happening with those two, which could be really interesting because, you know, he's 6'3". He's got some bulk to him. I think he could be a decent screener if he truly wants to be. Who knows, man? I don't want to, like, there's a lot of speculation probably happening within this podcast, but it's interesting, like, because the Raptors have so many options, and that has been by design. Yeah. That the team has always wanted options. They don't want to be so rigid saying these are the 15 guys we're going to be going with. They're saying the ball's out there. Let's do a scrimmage. Let's see how things go. And Jeff has shown so far in a smaller sample size that there could be some synergy there with what the Raptors are wanting from a backup point guard. And I think that means something. But then you go to Malachi Flynn. If those two played like a game one-on-one, I think Malachi would win, because I think Malachi is a very good player. It's just, is he the right fit for the Raptors? That is the million-dollar question. And we still don't know. That's where we're at right now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if you're talking and if you're talking about like down getting significant minutes or, like I said, a potential like converting a deal, yeah, or whatever, I mean, I think part of that process would have to be Flynn not, yeah, playing well, right? Just it's basically falling out of the rotation or way back in the rotation or whatever, which, you know, look, I mean, it's the summer of Malachi, man. Everyone is so excited to see him bring some of that stuff,
yeah,
that they saw in all these different types of pro-am runs and whatever to the main team here, to the NBA. And I mean, look, he had a good summer. It was good for the confidence, I think. I think that's one of the bigger things. I mean, there definitely have been times over the past couple seasons, and I think it's partially due to not having a defined role a lot of the time. Yep. It's tough to get into, yep, a rhythm, right? NBA players will always say, you know, if I'm put in for 10 minutes this night and then no minutes the next night, it's really tough for me to get going, sure, consistently. And, you know, that's kind of been the story of Malachi's NBA career so far. There's a lot, yeah, of talent there. You can see it. There's some certain things he does really well. I really think, you know, for example, he's got great defensive instinct. He, mm-hmm, he is like a little bit of a Fred and a Kyle type digger, which I love. You know, he's a little bit smaller than those guys, but as he gets stronger, right, some of those are going to work out better for him.
And he is stronger, but it looks like, at least from what we've seen.
Yeah, and he looks stronger. So it could be this season. Like, yep, you know, and he, you know, the last time we saw him on an NBA court, I thought he gave good minutes against the Sixers, right? Limited time in that series, but I thought he came in and did some good stuff. Was a pest, yep, defensively, hit some shots on offense. I mean, that's all you really got to do to start, you know, getting your consistent minutes and then growing, sure, those minutes and then becoming, you know, presumably the full-time backup and really, yeah, leading the team and against those second units. And I definitely think that's possible for him, you know, then, and definitely, hopefully that's this season.
Yeah, I hope things work out with Malachi and the Raptors. First and foremost, we mentioned the Jeff Doughton thing because it's a different player, someone who's going to be in training camp who has shown glimpses of being a fit. But in the end, Malachi, he was drafted by the Raptors. I think they do want to see him perform. They want to see him be a fit on the team because he, similar to a Justin Champagne, he fits like their identity, humble, yeah, hustle, work hard, be selfless. He is that. That's him. So I want to see him work out. We'll have to see how things go because it's been a bit of a dicey time with him and the Raptors from the get-go.
It has. But you know what is the other thing too, is I think the Koloko thing could be interesting for him.
Yeah.
If those two guys get paired up and have some minutes together. I mean, because if you think about it, Malachi Flynn came in and everyone's talking about, oh, he's a pick and roll maestro. That's what he does. Put the ball in his hands, yeah, and score that way. And get guys other looks. Sure. Obviously not a rim pressure guy, but, you know, more of a jumper guy. But he's never had a pick and roll partner like Koloko, no. Right? He's never had a guy like that. The Raptors haven't had someone on the roster who's able to be a lob threat or even necessarily super strong screeners in the time that Flynn's been on the roster. So I think, you know, giving some minutes to those guys together could prove to be, you know, maybe even open some stuff up for both of them. And that's the kind of thing that I think as you go throughout the season and even in training camp, you'll experiment with and situation matters, fit matters, personnel matters.
Sure. I think it's a separate conversation why the Raptors are probably going to run more pick and roll this year, but we obviously have time because the off season is still here and it's never been a bigger struggle as a person who's trying to make content. It's never been a bigger struggle than right now to find reasons to talk about the Raptors that haven't been covered by myself and so forth ad nauseum so far this offseason. Anyway, final question for you, Delano Banton, the other point guard kind of forward on the Raptors. Do you think he's going to play more point guard minutes or forward minutes this coming season? What do you think is the recipe for success for Delano?
Yeah, it's interesting because so off the top, like again, we're assuming Delano gets a spot. I mean, he's not locked in, but I mean, I think he's pretty safely locked in. You know, he's not, but he is kind of thing, right? Last season, he played 56% of his time at point guard and 43% of his time at shooting guard. So he was in those guard spots a lot during his rookie years, and that was made sense, I think. Was in and out of the rotations and more at the start of the season and then fell out of rotation. Super limited offensively last season. It'll be interesting to see how he's grown over the summer, playing with Team Canada, stuff like that. But I do think you probably... And like we mentioned, you know, especially if the Raptors are bringing in two other depth pieces at forward, you'll probably see him still more at those guard spots. He can. The one thing I do like from Banton offensively that he's done, I mean, in transition, he's pretty fun. But also, he's a good change of pace guy compared to someone like Fred VanVleet, right?
Sure.
VanVleet plays at a very particular type of pace. Banton plays at a completely different type of pace, and being able to, you know, swap those guys in and out at times, bringing the ball up, and there'll be lots of guys, like we've said, will be bringing the ball up, including Siakam and Scotty. But Banton kind of brings that at the guard spot there. And, you know, on defense, whatever, he's going to be switching all over the place. I mean, he's big enough and has the wingspan to be able to hold his own there at multiple spots. But he is a good guy to put on a smaller guard for sure. They're going to be seeing just a whole lot of arms in front of them with Banton. So, I think he'll probably be sticking to the guard spots for the most part.
Guard, whatever guard means, like really guard, I guess, is just point guard, because shooting guard and small forward and power forward are all very similar with the Raptors. But yes, it's less on ball would be probably like the way to look at it.
Right.
More of a secondary option. And I think that might be the best for his development as he learns to like calm his mind and make it so like his legs are moving very fast, but his mind is like calm, cool, collected. A tough transition for any player. Like this is the second year. So him playing a lot of basketball is probably the way to do that, where he's going to be able to understanding reads, seeing the defense as it comes and being off ball more could probably help him understand that a little bit better. But if you talk about things that he can do that other bench players cannot do, it is like the knifing in the lane and getting those single line drives and finishing through contact and just creating offense, being something of a hub. Not that he's going to be getting those opportunities, but you could see a ways in which, you know, if his jumper is going and like, you know, he fakes a shot, he's able to, you know, take a dribble or two or even one dribble and he's at the rim because he's got those long strides and the explosion. And that is a valuable skill. The Raptors could use that. And I love the idea of him coming down the wing with Scottie Barnes with the ball in the middle and he pitches it to Delano and he's got a wide open lane because he can just soar through the air and it's beautiful to see. I think there is a way in which he can get consistent minutes. He just has to nail down his role. And also, you know, the Raptors defensively, like we said earlier, it's all about, you know, can you understand their peel switching style, which the starters obviously get because, I mean, a lot of them have been Raptors for a little while, but Delano has struggled. Scottie Barnes struggled with it. Like it's a tough transition to make. They all struggled, but if he's the person who gets it and is able to be, because he is so switchable at, you know, 6'9" point guard, can guard a lot of positions, can rebound the ball, that definitely gives him a leg up over other players. And obviously the shooting has to be there. It's been good to see so far through, you know, Summer League and also with Team Canada. Some of the shots he's hitting, like the footwork is really nice. He's getting the shots off pretty quickly. It seems much more controlled, which is a great things to see from him, but he's got to be able to do it in training camp and obviously in the season. Other thoughts?
Yeah, just, I mean, like you said, I mean, the, hitting some catch and shoot jumpers from distance would be just be massive. Because I think, you got to hit at least a few of those a game to really start have guys closing out on you. And that's when your three-point shooting really matters. Because if he can become a closeout attacker, I think that really opens up not only his game, but some more stuff for the Raptors as well. Just some more fun things that they could work in there. And they've got some really good cutters on the team as well. So
they do.
I think that would be something that if it carries over, like you're saying, the shooting looks like it's improved. If it has, especially the spot ups and playing off ball more, I think he definitely has a spot in the rotation if he's able to pull that off, as backup depth there and someone who already we know can handle his own defensively so long as he's staying within the scheme.
yes, a difficult task for many players, as we've found. Josh, very, very fun chat. What's coming up for you? What are you working on? Where can people find your work and all that kind of stuff?
So just sort of ramping up here, getting closer to the season. I mean, I'm with Raptors Republic, as you mentioned off the top. Very excited to be back there, sort of where I started my basketball media journey. So
nice.
Cool to be there. I'm sure I'll have some written content coming out soon as we get closer to the season. May pop on some more podcasts and shows over there as well. So keep an eye out.
Yeah.
Got some big news as well coming there. So just stay tuned and. Stay tuned to Twitter and all the social medias and stuff. You'll find out closer we get to the season. So,
nice. Yeah,
it's great though. Thank you so much for having me on, man. It's been a long time since I've done something like this, and couldn't have asked for a better person to talk about hoops with.
So. Hey, beautiful man. Thank you so much for joining me, everyone. Have yourself a good day, good weekend, good night, good afternoon, good morning, whenever you're listening. We'll talk to you soon.